Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare. Act 3, Scene 3. Friar Lawrence's cell. Enter Friar Lawrence.
Romeo, come forth. Come forth, thou fearful man. Affliction is enamored of thy parts, and thou art wedded to calamity.
Enter Romeo.
Father, what news? What is the prince's doom? What sorrow craves acquaintance at my hand that I yet know not?
Too familiar is my dear son with such sour company. I bring thee tidings of the prince's doom.
What less than doomsday is the prince's doom?
A gentler judgment vanished from his lips, not body's death, but body's banishment.
Ha! Banishment! Be merciful, say death! For exile hath more terror in his look, much more than death. Do not say banishment!
Hence from Verona art thou banished. Be patient, for the world is broad and wide.
There is no world without Verona walls, but purgatory, torture, hell itself. Hence banished is banished from the world, and world's exile is death. Then banished is death mistermed, calling death banishment. Thou cuttest my head off with the golden axe, and smilest upon the stroke that murders me.
O deadly sin, O rude unthankfulness, thy fault our law calls death, but the kind prince, taking thy part, hath rushed aside the law, and turned that black word death to banishment.
This is dear mercy, and thou seest it not.
'Tis torture and not mercy. Heaven is here where Juliet lives, and every cat and dog and little mouse, every unworthy thing, live here in heaven and may look on her, but Romeo may not. More validity, more honorable state, more courtship lives in carrion flies than Romeo. They may seize on the white wonder of dear Juliet's hand and steal immortal blessing from her lips, who even in pure and vestal modesty still blush as thinking their own kisses sin. But Romeo may not. He is banished. Flies may do this, but I from this must fly. They are free men, but I am banished. And sayest thou yet that exile is not death? Hast thou no poison mixed, no sharp ground knife, no sudden mean of death? Though ne'er so mean, but banished to kill me, banished! O friar, the damned use that word in hell! Howlings attended, how hast thou the heart, being a divine, a ghostly confessor, a sin absolver, and my friend professed, to mangle me with that word banished?
Though fond madman, hear me but speak a word. Oh, thou wilt speak again of banishment!
I'll give thee armor to keep off that word. Adversity's sweet milk, philosophy to comfort thee, though thou art banished.
Yet banished, hang up philosophy, unless philosophy can make a Juliet displant a town, reverse a prince's doom, it helps not, it prevails not, talk no more.
Oh, then I see that madmen have no ears.
How should they when that wise men have no eyes?
Let me dispute with thee of thy estate.
Thou canst not speak of that thou dost not feel. Wert thou as young as I, Juliet thy love, an hour but married, Tybalt murdered, doting like me and like me banished, then mightest thou speak, then mightest thou tear thy hair and fall upon the ground as I do now, taking the measure of an unmade grave.
Knocking within.
Arise, one knocks, good Romeo, hide thyself.
Not I, unless the breath of heartsick groans, mist-like, enfold me from the search of eyes. Knocking.
Hark! How they knock! Who's there? Romeo, arise! Thou wilt be taken! Stay a while, stand up!
Knocking.
Run to my study by and by, God's will! What simpleness is this? I come, I come!
Knocking.
Who knocks so hard? Whence come you? What's your will?
Within. Let me come in, and you shall know my errand. I come from Lady Juliet.
Welcome, then. Enter nurse. Oh, holy friar, oh, tell me, holy friar, where is my lady's lord? Where's Romeo?
There on the ground, with his own tears made drunk.
Oh, he is even in my mistress's case, just in her case. Oh, woeful sympathy, piteous predicament. Even so lies she, blubbering and weeping, weeping and blubbering. Stand up, stand up. Stand, and you be a man, for Juliet's sake. For her sake, rise and stand. Why should you fall into so deep an oh?
Nurse! Ah, sir, well, death's the end of all.
Spakest thou of Juliet? How is it with her? Doth she not think me an old murderer? Now I have stained the childhood of our joy, with blood removed but little from her own. Where is she? And how doth she? And what says my concealed lady to our cancelled love?
Oh, she says nothing, sir, but weeps and weeps, and now falls on her bed, and then starts up, and Tybalt calls, and then on Romeo cries, and then down falls again.
As if that name, shot from the deadly level of a gun, did murder her, as that name's cursed hand murdered her kinsman. Oh, tell me, friar, tell me, in what vile part of this anatomy doth my name lodge? Tell me that I may sack the hateful mansion.
Drawing his sword.
Hold thy desperate hand. Art thou a man? Thy form cries out thou art. Thy tears are womanish. Thy wild acts denote the unreasonable fury of a beast. Unseemly woman in a seeming man, or ill-beseeming beast in seeming both. Thou hast amazed me by my holy order. I thought thy disposition better tempered. Hast thou slain Tybalt? Wilt thou slay thyself? And stay thy lady too that lives in thee by doing damned hate upon thyself? Why railest thou on thy birth, the heaven and earth, since birth and heaven and earth all three do meet in thee at once, which thou at once wouldst lose? Fie, fie, thou shamest thy shape, thy love, thy wit, which like a usurer aboundest in all, and usest none in that true use indeed, which should bedeck thy shape, thy love, thy wit. Thy noble shape is but a form of wax, digressing from the valor of a man. Thy dear love sworn, but hollow perjury, killing that love which thou hast vowed to cherish. Thy wit, that ornament to shape and love, misshapen in the conduct of them both, like powder in a skitless soldier's flask, is set afire by thine own ignorance, and thou dismembered with thine own defense. What rouse thee, man? Thy Juliet is alive, for whose dear sake thou wast but lately dead. There art thou happy. Tybalt would kill thee, but thou slewest Tybalt. There art thou happy too. The law that threatened death becomes thy friend and turns it to exile. There art thou happy. A pack of blessings lights up upon thy back. Happiness courts thee in her best array. But, like a misbehaved and sullen wench, thou poutest upon thy fortune and thy love. Take heed, for such die miserable. Go, get thee to thy love, as was decreed. Ascend her chamber, hence, and comfort her. But look thou, stay not till the watch be set, for then thou canst not pass to Mantua, where thou shalt live, till we can find a time to blaze your marriage, reconcile your friends, beg pardon of the prince, and call thee back with 200,000 times more joy than thou wentest forth in lamentation. Go before, nurse, commend me to thy lady, and bid her hasten all the house to bed, which heavy sorrow makes them apt unto. Romeo is coming.
O Lord, I could have stayed here all the night to hear good counsel. Oh, what learning is! My lord, I'll tell my lady you will come.
do so, and bid my sweet prepare to chide. Here, sir, a ring she bid me give you, sir. Hie you, make haste, for it grows very late. Exit. How well my comfort is revived by this! Go hence, good night, and here stands all your state. Either be gone before the watch be set, or by the break of day disguised from hence. Sojourn in Mantua. I'll find out your man, and he shall signify from time to time every good hap to you that chances here. Give me thy hand. 'Tis late. Farewell, good night. But what a joy past joy calls out on me! It were a grief so brief to part with thee. Farewell. They exit. End of Act 3, Scene 3. Read by Lorraine Montgomery for Lit to Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.